Good luck. Take it easy. This is Wallace's first.
So, can you tell us how you got involved with this show and what attracted you to it and what do you think it's truly about?
Oh, it was me.
To all of you.
I got involved, I sent the script, just read the script and immediately loved it and could really visualise all of the bit parts where you go into Timmy's imagination, and it just was so vivid to me. It was as simple as that.
Yeah, I had the same response. Really excited because of the flights of fancy that Timmy takes, and that also just this kid taking his detective agency so seriously. Like I love that in my kids when I see them really, you know, taking things seriously as a kid. Their imagination. I was like that as a kid. I'm still kind of like that. So that really seeing this kid like really believe that this detective agency was a thing, and then you know the scripts. Tom McCarthy and Stefan, who wrote it, it was on the page. You knew you were going to be involved in something that was, I think, better than the average just for family comedy. You know, it was going to have a little flair to it that Tom brings to all his movies, and a real, it was going to be heightened a little bit at the talent level that Tom brings to it.
Well, yes, I was thrilled to be offered a job. Quite extraordinary, and they were planning to pay me as well.
Yeah.
Well, it was appropriately as I play the teacher who was rather concerned. I was worried about this poor boy who lives in his imagination to such an extent. He's flunking out of school and he doesn't do his homework, and I was worried about the boy. So even though, sure, I had some imagination as a kid and did a lot of doodling in my notebook, but I also had a fear of, I don't know, being thrown out of school. And he's fearless, absolutely fearless. And yeah, I think my level of anxiety on his behalf was useful to me in playing the part.
I love the idea of an actor doing a movie because he was really concerned about the character. That's great. I gotta go save him.
Yeah. How is it working with kids and difference with adults, you know? How was your experience with kids?
Someone else go first this time.
I mean, the fun thing about my character, Crispin, is that Crispin, I feel like, is just another one of the kids in the movie. And one of the points, I think, that they wanted to make with Crispin was this sort of never growing up kind of thing. But like you were kind of alluding to, with a big imagination, and with that comes responsibility, and that's sort of what Timmy's going through in this, is how do you manage, how do you still celebrate that within yourself, but also know that you have to, you know, say you're sorry, and you have to sort of be accountable for your actions at some point. And I think with working with him, I got to just sort of be a kid, the Crispin character, and feed off of the kid's energy a little bit, so that really made it kind of fun. It was a good place for me to start with, and I mean, you don't end up really behaving any differently in terms of when action goes.
No,
you
don't. You do. It's strange that you hit action, and you just, as an actor, you just immediately, you're so well behaved.
Yeah.
You just, you know, straight out the blocks. But that was no different in that sense. But there was no cynicism, which lent itself to the tone of the film. I think. I mean, it was, you just. These kids are just having a lot of fun on set, so that sort of happily bleeds into the feel of the rest of the set.
It's very enjoyable to act with kids, I feel. I'm a little afraid of kids. But in a setting of a movie, they sort of put aside the kid act and act like the grown-ups that they really are. And certainly, I did a lot of scenes just with Winslow, who played Timmy, and we were treated the same by the director. Mm. And he was treated like an adult, and he acted like an adult. Mm. And there was a kind of assumed equality between him and me that was very agreeable.
I've heard that there was a man in a polar bear suit on the set, and all three of your characters don't necessarily see or engage with the polar bear. What was it like working in an environment where you have something wild like that happening in your visual peripheral and ignoring it?
Well, I mean, you ignore the camera that's there. And, you know, it's not, it's your play acting. It's not, honestly, I've never found those things. People often say that when someone's doing, you know, green screen or something. I mean, obviously it's challenging in a different way, but you're pretending all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of just, if anything, it's just one more thing to pretend with. It's not, doesn't really, it doesn't feel incongruous.
Yes, you're ignoring most of what's in the room.
Yeah. I mean,
there's sometimes, you know, 75 people in the room that you're ignoring.
Holding up a bounce board right next to your face just off camera, you know, that, you know. I mean, I do have a bounce board in real life, too, that I have my kids hold up so that I'm always in really good light, but that's just me. And I also, it's also fun to me, we're all a team, you know, I love movie sets and TV sets because you're part of this collective, creative and practical. Like, I just love everyone. I love coming to work. It's this really sacred place. And you're putting on a show and you're like, oh my God, I see. I was excited to see that. Like, oh, I see. They use like a real person so they can reference it. And so camera knows exactly what the spacing is. And you feel like you're part of the effect itself. And you're all in this together, making this really, and seeing it last night, I mean, it's flawless. I mean, my mom was amazed that it wasn't really a polar bear, that they designed this thing. So I just love, I nerd out about that stuff too. I'm really excited when I learn how they do effects and that, oh, they actually have the person mm-hmm. doing it. It's really helpful.
And that, the guy in the suit was pretty convincing mm-hmm. as it was.
Yeah.
It was quite, you know, it seemed quite real, but then seeing the polar bear last night was really mind-boggling.
But he would move. To that point, he would move slow, and again, our characters, yes, aren't supposed to see it, but you could see how helpful it would be to Winslow, because he would move slow, and he would tilt his head sadly, and if that, I mean, talk about like where we're often imagining things or pretending things aren't there, that is helpful, like to say, for a director to say, and then he tilts his head because he's sad. Yeah, you have to act with that a lot, but it's also, it's neat when you actually have an actor going this and you can play off of it.
His name was Michael.
The way
he would sort of lumber. And then, the kind of the magic of the movies and how they would then come in and effects would take up that space. And then you see it realized on the screen, you think this is magic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then but for Winslow, the way you do, you know, Warhorse, that play Warhorse, where it's all puppeteering, and you don't look at the people, you're just looking at the face of the puppets. I mean, it's as much you guys watching it, invest in looking at the bear, you don't think, oh, that's not real. You think, oh my God, the polar bear's okay. You want to believe it, so that's half the work is done, because you guys want to believe it.
Yeah.
Also, they didn't hire just anybody to do that, I think.
Yeah.
He's that guy is very...
He's an expert. He's one of the... Yeah. 10 or 12 people in the world that do, I mean, now it's more and more, but that do it, you know, he was in, I think he worked on Planet of the Apes, and he's excellent at it, and as much a part of the project as anyone.
So what do you think this movie is about for you? What are the themes that were explored that you enjoy being part of?
I think it's got a beautiful message, that which again was something that leapt out reading it, just that you can never quash someone's imagination. You should never do that, and it's the worst, most cruel thing you can do to a child, to tell them not to engage their imagination and to cultivate that and allow it to flourish. And it's such a simple message, but needs amplifying.
Yeah, I agree. I also loved the celebration of, you know, one of the things about Portland, and one of the reasons that Tom wanted to set it in Portland, is that it's a city that celebrates its uniqueness and celebrates its weirdness, and one of the themes of, you know, only normal people are normal, and, you know, it, the city and the characters and the story all reflect that and all really celebrate weirdness and uniqueness, and I loved that about it from the get-go, and it didn't really start to hit me until we were shooting in all those Portland locations, and I was seeing the way he was casting it, and I was seeing the way, you know, even just the way that they designed your guys' house, and it was just really, and then he perfectly carried that through in executing the film and the edit and everything too. So I love that celebration, and also just love the simple message too, along the lines of imagination, of hitting an age when you have a decision to make about your imagination on fostering it, continuing to foster it, but then adding accountability to it is a really neat. My kids are 11 and 9 right now, and I've certain same thing. I want them to be kids forever, but they also have to sort of learn that they'll have some accountability when you know, there's that big strain of this movie about whether or not Timmy understands accountability is played out very simply but very gracefully and well put in this movie. And I don't know how many spoilers we're allowed to do up, so I won't say too much, but it's just because it surprised me, because I, you know, we made this a while ago, I'd forgotten, but I really teared up when he makes that turn about three quarters through, when he realizes something about what he, about accountability.
It's also a movie about a single mother without much money trying to cope with raising a kid. And it's, I thought, a wonderful portrait of that situation and of her, you know, how we don't, I don't think we even learn what her jobs are, but her condition of being, you know, terribly stressed is very realistically, I
think it's more relatable because we don't know. I think we fill in our own occupations with two or three jobs that she has to have. You know, I think we fill it in, and everyone there fills it in, and everyone there that's either grew up in the same way or is in that situation now or has a friend or family. You know,
I love that Disney have done that. That, you know, she doesn't look like some of the other moms that you see. She's got tattoos and she's got the crazy purple hair, and she's not there a lot of the time because she's constantly working. It's just, I think it's. I mean, she's, as Portland would say, stay weird. So she has.
Yeah.
She's still a really good mom.
Was this your...
Oh, go ahead.
Was this your first introduction to the books?
Yeah.
Mine was, my kids were somewhat familiar with them, but then after I started working on it, now we have the books all over, and they're big fans of it.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
All three of you have very different roles in Timmy's life, with the mom's boyfriend, mom, and obviously teacher. What, in your own experiences, have like different adults in your life played with your imagination or your growth into the adult you are today?
I had a teacher called Mrs. Dandridge, an English teacher, who used to wear a big acrylic crocodile necklace. She's my English teacher. And she could tell that I was an avid reader, so at the end of class, you know, weekly, she'd sort of say, I think you'll enjoy this, and hand me Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier, or hand me Bram Stoker's Dracula, or hand me all these different books. And I was 11, 12, and she could tell that I was quite voracious and wanted that. And so she had a big impact on me. And then there were wild gothic novels, and I was 11 and 12 years old, so it was quite, she broadened that. And my mum, obviously, was huge.
That's great. Yeah, I also had an English teacher in high school that was really instrumental in noticing something about me and then helping for me to kind of realize that about myself and foster it. And he was an English teacher who, it was the first time I knew that when I was reading a book, it wasn't just a story necessarily, that there was theme and there was something else explored, and it could be quite complicated. And he also knew I was a big movie lover, and he was too, so we would talk about movies and he would recommend movies. And really, one of the reasons I became, it kind of got into the creative arts was because of him, because I think he really made it exciting for me. And coaches along the way, I mean, I do love how this movie like plants people all over Timmy's life that all add one different element to it, that all is true to their character. They don't know they're dispensing wisdom, but they are, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I dispense wisdom, although he's at the end, I don't know if he's kidding or serious when he says, a man I greatly admire.
Yeah, he respects Crocus.
I mean, in my own mind, I did care about his welfare. And, you know, and when I'm talking to his mother, I do care. I say I never gave up on a student before. I certainly, I had an awful lot of encouragement, possibly too much as a kid. But I also had a couple of teachers who discouraged me I mean, certainly I remember writing a long poem when I was 14 and showing it to a teacher that I admired, and he said, son, you'll never be a poet. I think you know, that probably, I took it very hard, because I have to say I was given a lot of encouragement as a kid to be, you know, whatever you want to call it, to go in an artistic direction. And when that teacher said that, I was devastated, and roughly speaking, I never got over it. I mean, I did feel, I shouldn't write poetry then. I hope that, you know, well, I mean, Timmy is so far over the line there that I don't know if I mean, Mr. Crocus, in a way, doesn't get into the issue of whether he's a real detective. I mean, he stays out of it. Mm-hmm. But he's not an ideal teacher, let's be blunt. He's a discouraging teacher in a way, but somehow there's some kind of integrity that he has. I don't know. Of course, I feel we should see Timmy failure 2, 3, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, see if Crocus and Timmy.
I have to insert the last question here so we have time for photos if you want at the end. So one last question.
What does that mean, the brand Disney to you?
The brand of Disney?
I wanted to work for Walt Disney when I was that age and a little bit younger. I wanted to be a cartoonist, and I used to, Walt Disney used to have a TV show that sort of took you behind the scenes of what they do. And I was into it. Then 20 or 30 years went by when I was thinking of other things. And then I found my way back into these buildings and ended up working for Walt.
Oh, wow. Did you meet him?
No, I mean this and Toy Story and other things that I ended up kind of living off his, you know, paychecks.
Yeah.
I mean, he was long gone.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I am.
I was going to say, I was like 13 when you started working for him. Yeah.
For me, it does, you know, you watch them growing up, and there's some that I prefer over others, but then you do end up working for them. It's strange to then be in one, because you watch them as a kid, and then you're in one for other children. You kind of think, this is quite great.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds so corny, but it is quite dreamlike because they're part of your childhood. You reference them. You can make some obscure reference, and someone knows what movie you're talking about. And then you're kind of contributing to that canon. It's a lovely legacy.
It really is. I watched. We had a collection of Disney movies when I was a kid on VHS, and or we would rent them from the library, and it was like Blackbeard's Ghost and the North Avenue, like all these movies that had a lot of the same actors, like Dean Jones, who just passed away, actually. And I was just showing my kids not too long ago some of those late 60s, early 70s movies that I would have, I was born in 75, but like, and then to know now that I'm like doing one of those, that they'll show their kids, and like that, like you said, being part of that legacy, but it is dreamlike. It is like, it's, if you know, whatever happens from here on out, I've been able to check that box off, which is a wonderful feeling.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you.